Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
An emotional experience does not prove that you're saved and on your way to heaven. We are so tender in this area because emotions are a big deal to us.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmscher, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our special guest speaker on Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor Holmscher returns with us to the book of James as we examine genuine difference-making faith from chapter 2, verses 14 through 26.
Can I have you open your Bibles to James chapter 2? James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Can we stop right there? You got your spiritual feeding? You understand? Okay, you're like me. It's like, no. Okay, now that one didn't quite resound with me. I'm not really sure what's being said there. In fact, my first response is to go, I don't know if that sounds right. But it's in the Bible, so you know it's right, but you don't know why it's right. Yeah, are you like me? Let's remember who's James's audience is for this particular passage, because it's important for us to remember who he was writing to. Whenever you begin to study God's Word, it's important that you kind of have the background, at least historically, of what's going on. And you'll remember from our study, from your memorization, that the book of James was written from a Jewish pastor in Jerusalem to the Jewish believers scattered all over the world. And because it was written to Jewish believers, we can understand that he was writing from the Jewish point of view. And in writing from the Jewish point of view to Jews, he was addressing things that might in some ways be unique to them, though we are all people and we have the same temptations. It's important for us to remember what these Jewish believers were going through. And in reality, brother and sister, you and I really don't know what they were going through, because we're not Jewish and we don't have the law and thousands of years of living by the law as our heritage. We are not God's chosen people. We come from a totally different mindset, from a total other part of the moon, as it were, than Jews. But James knows these Jews because he's one of them, and he knows the struggles that they have because he is one of them. And so, as we think about this, we have to realize that in every assembly of God's people, there are always those who are professors of the faith, and there are always those who are possessors of the faith. Unfortunately, they're not always the same. Not everyone that professes possesses, though everyone that possesses will profess. Do I need to say that again? In other words, there are many who might say they have faith in Jesus Christ, though they may not have that faith. And in the Jewish community, circa AD, 60? It was the same then as it is now. But what are some uniquenesses to the Jewish community? It seems that they stumbled over this thing called the law. Do you remember Galatians? Paul wrote a whole book combating a wrong mindset over the Jewish law and its role to the New Testament believer. And that whole book was written for the point of liberating people from the law, because Jesus fulfilled the law. What James is addressing is a horse of a whole different color. He's coming from the other side, because there was this push from the Jewish community, certain ones, to add works back to the law. Paul was very clear in Galatians, in Titus, in Ephesians, no, works don't have anything to do with purchasing or obtaining salvation. James, however, is attacking a different problem. And the problem here is that Jewish believers who have been wanting to be free from the law hear the gospel and hear that it has nothing to do with works, and they rejoice, and rightfully so. But in that, they take it too far and say that since works has nothing to do with salvation, then I'm not going to do anything. And James says, oh, no. Just a second. Brothers and sisters, you need to think about this rightly. You need to come back into line with truth. You see, because if you read James chapter 2, verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, you begin to scratch your head and go, that's exactly the opposite of what Paul said. And rightfully so, it should work up within you. No! Christ was sufficient for all. No! We should never touch the cross in its sufficiency to pay for the sins of all mankind. The whole genius of the salvific plan was that Jesus was the God-man, and because he's God and because he's infinite, he can pay for infinite sin. That's why we need to make sure that no works ever touch the purchasing of our salvation, because Christ is sufficient. And if we bring our works, we're tearing down who he is. And our tendency is to look at this and go, wait a minute, James is making me feel uncomfortable. James is attacking the sufficiency of Christ. But brothers and sisters, my goal is to help you see that James was actually supporting the sufficiency of Christ, not attacking it. So how are we going to see that? Because I believe James was combating a me-centered gospel and a me-centered faith that MacArthur says was true of the Jewish believers, because some assumed this new religion gave everything and demanded nothing. Such people would make a profession of believing about Christ, but with the mistaken notion that because works are not efficacious for salvation, they are therefore not necessary for anything. The inevitable result was a non-saving faith. That's what's at stake here. Saving or not saving faith. That's an important thing to get right. So, what is a saving faith? What is a difference-making faith, according to James? Well, let's look at verses 14 through 17 again, because he starts out and asks the question, though a man say he hath faith. Notice that's a profession. James never says that is a possession of faith. He says it's a profession of faith. A man professes to have faith, and his question is, can that profession of faith save him? And then he goes into an illustration, and the illustration is this. Somebody knocks on your door, they're obviously in need, you're a brother, and you send them away with a nice, spiritual, pious greeting, but you don't help them at all. Well, what is that? That is an empty profession. Because presumably this person has an understanding, mental assent, has a mental assent to the truth of the gospel. He may be able to defend the faith, but according to James' illustration in verses 15 and 16, he is not demonstrating the faith. As Scripture indicates, it will be demonstrated if it's a genuine faith. Because think about it with me. Whenever you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, who comes and lives within you? The third person of the Godhead, himself, the Holy Ghost. And what does he lead you into? He leads you into possessing the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Can you in love see a brother or sister naked and without daily food? And can you in love say, all right, have a good night. Hope you get what you need. Whenever your whole house is full of clothes and food to meet their need. Of course not. That's not a possession of love. That's not a demonstration of love. That's not a demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit. And so what we have here is we have a mental assent to the truth. And he would say, beware of a mere intellectual faith, because no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same. What does 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18 say? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to, what's the natural reaction if we possess this faith? The reality is, if you have a genuine faith, not just a profession of faith, you possess a genuine faith, then it will be demonstrated. And one of the ways it will be demonstrated is a love for the brethren. So Wiersbe goes on to say, no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same anymore. Then he can come into contact with a 220-volt wire and remain the same. Now, there's a mental picture for you. Can you take a hold of a 220 and ground it? and is grounded because of you and remain the same, just, you know, keep chatting like, no, everything changes after that moment. And Wiersbe's thought is the same. If you have a genuine faith, everything changes. And isn't that what Scripture teaches? Secondly, he goes on to say it's more than an empty profession. It's more than an emotional response. Faith is more than an empty profession. Faith is more than an emotional response. What's the next illustration? Because after verse 17, in his thundering demonstrative explanation, faith without works is dead. You'll hear that again. He says, yea, can a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works? Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. And then he throws a dagger. The devils also believe and tremble. MacArthur says that's a little bit of sarcasm there, because thou doest well is like, come on. Even the demons know there is a God. And unlike the guy with a mental assent that it doesn't affect his heart or his person at all, the demons, it does affect their emotions. They tremble. They tremble because they realize there is a God, and they realize they stand condemned before him, and they realize there's a judgment, and they are awesomely afraid of that day. But are the demons saved with this emotional response to the truth? No. And so James is saying, be careful, because a genuine faith, a difference-making faith, is more than a mental assent, and it's more than an emotional response. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, be careful as well, because it is common and it is right for you to have an emotional response to the truth of the gospel. And sometimes that emotional response to the truth of the gospel could even bring you to tears. But are tears salvation? I think one of the most sobering things to me is the Mormon doctrine of the burning spirit or the burning bosom. I don't really know how they describe it, but have you had a Mormon missionary describe it to you? Have they come up to you and ask, have you ever felt a burning inside your heart? What are they describing? They're describing an emotional experience. And what are they saying that emotional experience proves? It proves that you have had an encounter with their God. An emotional experience does not prove that you're saved and on your way to heaven. We are so tender in this area because emotions are a big deal to us. And we are often drawn into decisions because of emotions. And we are often solidified decisions because of emotions. Brothers and sisters, if you are trusting in an emotional experience with faith, and an emotional experience at an altar, an emotional experience with the idea of being a person of faith, then James's words to you are words of warning. And again, we hear a thundering echo, faith without works is dead. A person can be enlightened in his mind, and even stirred in his heart, and be lost forever, Wiersbe says. So what is a difference-making faith? A difference-making faith is a dynamic, life-altering choice. He jumps into these two examples of Abraham and Rahab. In both of these examples, we see that the people involved, Abraham and Rahab, knew the truth. It involved the mind. It involved emotions. There was some tough stuff that they were dealing with in the circumstances surrounding their faith. But most importantly, it involved their will, because they came to a point of trusting in nothing but God.
That was Pastor F.G. Holmscher, the assistant pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker today for Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.